just for a few minutes. While we were sitting, I was thinking throughout the scripture, what can we bring a portion that truly will summarize the day, as the desire was to see, we would love to see the Lord Jesus. And I thought of a little portion, a few verses, from the book of Acts, that really brings it home, what we have looked upon throughout the whole day. The first reading, the coming of the Lord Jesus here on earth. The second reading, as Christ in the glory. And the third reading, Christ in the believer. And I trust with these few verses, we will see it and trust that our hearts will have greater appreciation to the person of the Lord Jesus. I trust it wasn't information that has been exchanged, but it is a desire that as I look into the Lord, that we might be changed from glory to glory. The book of Acts, chapter 7. And this man was presented in our reading. But I just want to bring the three aspects of the things. Verse 51 and 52. Let's stick with 52. We don't want to be occupied with the weakness of man and the failure of man. Which of the prophets, verse 52, have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, we showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Spirit of God, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. And just for time's sake, of course, we all know they took him out. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You would say to yourself, where can we put these three things together? And how can we occupy with the greatness of the Lord Jesus as the desire of the brethren were for us today? The first thing, that they were the prophets of old. Even before the coming of the Lord Jesus, they were the prophecies of the prophets of the coming of the just one. And the coming of the just one is really here to earth. But before I enter into the coming of the Lord Jesus, what does it mean for us as saints of God? Perhaps there is a soul amongst us even tonight that have never experienced the greatness of the Lord Jesus in his work of salvation. The coming of the just one. I want to bring and highlight before you, as far as the destiny of your soul, why did Christ Jesus come on your behalf? The scripture says, the apostle Paul has declared that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. If you are still in your sins, as far as the Word of God is concerned, there is a way out. There is the forgiveness of sins. There is salvation given. And that work has been done by the Lord Jesus in order for you to be saved. And when the Scripture tells me that I need to be saved, it is in relationship to eternal punishment. And yet, He came to save sinners. In fact, it was His own blessed words that I came to seek and to lose that which was lost. His blessed words as well, I come to give them life and to give them more abundantly. My dear friend, my dear child, if you are still sitting here in your own sins, not knowing Christ as your personal Savior, can I say it respectfully? Everything you have heard today, it means nothing to you. Simply because Christ is not dwelling in your heart by faith. There is nothing of Christ that is found in you. The only way, when the Apostle Paul was talking about formation and God revealing His Son in him, before he brings this blessed truth, he speaks of the glad tidings concerning the Lord Jesus, that he received it not from man, it was not from man, it was not taught by man, and it was not even commended to him by man. It was given by God. He brings the glad tidings. And I want to start tonight by bringing the good news to you, that if you are still in your sins, Christ Jesus came to save your soul. But what is it for those that have been saved and touched by the kindness of God? I want to tell you some of these occasions in the Bible where people were overwhelmed, they were in awe when they witnessed the blessed manhood when he was here on earth. Even the disciples, when they were in the ship and there was the wind, and the Lord Jesus even rebuked the wind, it says of them, they all wondered what manner of man was this, that even the winds and the seas obey him. This is the blessed man on earth. He displayed all the power that was found in him. He had every authority, not over you and me as just a human being. He had authority over all things, that the disciples marveled that even the wind and the seas obey his voice. They knew their creator. Unfortunately, every part of creation, they know the voice of their creator, with the exception of the human race. Oh, dear brethren, these people, when they heard the gracious words of the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth, he says, and they marveled as well of the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The Lord Jesus, in every walk on earth, in every miracle he has committed, in every step he took, it was a delight to God. God never, how should I say it, never witnessed a man like this man. The faith of the Son of God was how man ought to live before God himself. And heaven never witnessed such a man, that God has to open the heavens and declare, this is my beloved Son. This is the one, hear ye him. This is the man that was here on earth that brought delight to the heart of God, but also that can rebuke man. Who's amongst you can convict me of one sin? The one who walked on earth with the dignity of his person, knew no sin, did no sin. In him there was no sin. And even when we come to the Hebrews, he was separate from sinners. This is the blessed man who came on earth. When this blessed man was atoning for sin on Calvary's cross, and when everything was done, the centurion said, this was truly a righteous man. And if we can come with that conclusion tonight, that what we have heard is in the morning, that this is indeed a righteous man, there is no man like unto this man. And maybe our hearts might be filled with Christ, that we can be from, like the woman from Samaria in John chapter 4. He said she was going around and she was saying one thing. Come see a man. Dear brethren, the world need to see this blessed man in order for them to be blessed and in order for them to be part of this wonderful mystery of Christ and the assembly. But the second part of it, he wasn't only seen, as we have discussed, what he did on earth, the authority of the forgiveness of sins. He can tell many individuals on earth, go your way, your sins are forgiven. My dear friend, there is no greater enjoyment on earth than to know, with all your sins, so great, so many, that you can hear the voice of a blessed person telling you your sins are forgiven. If it wasn't for such a voice, that your sins are forgiven, dear brethren, we would live in the guilt. In the guilt of it, all your life, until you are punished eternally. But it is, Father, forgive them. But oh, dear brethren, when this blessed one died, he was raised. But now he is in heaven. And I would like to suggest, what did Stephen see in heaven? We have touched on it a little bit. He saw the glory of God. May I say that the Apostle Paul brings us a little further into it. Not only that he saw the glory and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Wonderful. That standing at the right hand of God is an event that I would like to suggest that took place one time to represent the reception that the saints of God have from this Blessed One in glory. That he's waiting, he was waiting for the first martyr to arrive. And I would like to imagine these words, these two verses in the book of the Songs, when it speaks about how his left hand is under my head and with his right hand he embraces me. What a reception the saint of God has when it comes to the scene of glory. But this Blessed One that was standing, of course we don't want to lose sight that although he has a present ministry, but as far as the book of Hebrews, approximately four times, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Yes, he is sitting down as far as the work of redemption has been done. It will never be repeated. But how wonderful that the Lord in glory, on your behalf and mine, something that we cannot comprehend. But when the Apostle Paul brings it to that scene of glory, that scene, when I think the brother John brought us into, we shall be changed from glory to glory, the following chapter, when he speaks about what we are seeing about the Lord Jesus, he said, we're seeing the glory of God shining in the face of the Lord Jesus. Not only to see the excellency of God, but God has given us an object, his well-beloved Son, that all the excellency of God that I need to see is seen in the person of the Lord Jesus. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Everything that we need to know, everything that we need to see, we can see it in the man in the glory presently. And this is what Stephen saw when he was like almost at the last few minutes of his own life. He saw him there. And dear brethren, we thank God nobody is stoning us, you know. Like the apostle would say in the book of Epistle to Hebrews, we are not like, you know, being persecuted unto death or unto blood. We're not there yet. This is a man that was being persecuted for the name of Christ. This is a man that was acquainted with the scriptures. What a wonderful portion that he can rehearse the history of the Old Testament. The history of the Old Testament in just few words. If we want to rehearse something like this, it will take us ages. But by the Spirit of God, he can bring this history of all what happened to Israel in few moments. And so many times of us, I speak of myself first, that I can bring the history of the scripture, but there is no reality in the soul. And God is expecting that when the Word of God is open, when the Word of God is expounded, that it will cause me to be real before God himself. So this was a person that can look toward heaven and see a blessed man standing at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus himself, because he is there. Because he has ushered into heaven, as the brethren have explained, the forerunner. And one day, dear saints, we will be there. We will be there. Because he that has promised is faithful. I come quickly. And dear saints, when we leave this conference, let's consider this. He is coming. Let us not be fearful about the circumstances of life. He is coming. That's who we saw. He spoke about the coming just, the Lord on earth. He saw him at the right hand of God, the Lord in glory. But how about the Lord in the believer? How about the Lord in the believer? An older brother said one time, and sometimes, you know, these older brethren love them. Love them. Go hear their ministry. They are wonderful. It drives me crazy when I hear young men, you know, these older brethren, there was nothing much. Well, I want to tell you, I was a young brother once. And I had a great appreciation to these older brethren that have expounded the Word of God and uttered statements that, you know what, you can never forget them. He said the following. He said, there is no greater thing in Christianity than for one to be a reproduction of Christ. Nothing greater. What could be greater? Service? Ministry? Doing good? These are all wonderful. But the greatest thing in a Christian individual is that Christ is being formed in them. How is Christ being formed in me? Yes, we can say about what we're expected to do just as Christ, right? We're expected to love one another as He loved us. We're expected whosoever has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. Wonderful things. But in the formation of the Lord Jesus, there isn't only what I need to do in a positive way. You know, in the formation of the Lord Jesus, there's two other aspects of it. Things that I shouldn't do. Now think of the Lord Jesus. He reviled not. He glorified not. He pleased not. They were not. They were the N-O-T in the life of the Lord Jesus that he wouldn't do as a man. And you and me, dear saints of God, we have, if there is a formation of Christ in my life, I have to come to that conclusion that there are certain things I need to do because Christ have done it. But there are certain things that I shouldn't do because Christ will not do it. Especially that aspect, please not himself. Oh, please not himself. Dear brethren, the scripture tells us he pleased not himself. He glorified not himself. He threatened not. We are so quickly to, man, you're messing with me, I'll show you. He threatened not. He reviled not. He opened not his mouth. Wisdom will teach me when to open this mouth and when to keep it shut. That's wisdom. But that's formation of Christ. It's to love like he did. But to also to shun from things so that it will not take away from the glory of God. But how the formation of Stephen seen over here as far as talking the formation of Christ? In two ways. He almost uttered the same words that Christ uttered on the cross. This is a man as he enjoyed the forgiveness of sins can desire the same toward others. Sometimes when people hurt us, I can't forgive them. This man have enjoyed the words of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Here comes the formation of Christ at the end of the life of Stephen. He says, Lord Jesus, two things. I commend my spirit to you. Oh, the Lord Jesus, when he was on Calvary's cross, he says, Father, I commend my spirit to you. But also the Lord Jesus uttered, Father, forgive them. And Stephen would come to a point at the end of his life. He says, please, please, lay not this to their charge. And you know what the scripture says? He was full of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit. You know who was full of the Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus himself. Three aspects. I said two, so forgive me. Three aspects. Full of the Spirit, just like the Master. Just like the Master. In fact, there's four. I'm thinking, you know, this is how things sometimes work. Full of the Spirit of God. Committing his spirit to the Lord Jesus. Lay not to their charge. But can I suggest the fourth, and we'll close with it. The formation of Christ in him, that he was in full control at the end of his life. It was in all peaceful condition. He went on his knees. He was being stoned. And he, Stephen, gave up the ghost. The formation of Christ, dear saints, is real as long as we are willing to allow the Word of God to bring Him more and more into my own soul, to be filled with Christ, so that He will be formed in my life. How come He was in charge at the end of His few minutes of life? Because the Master was in full control at the end of His life. You know how the Lord Jesus committed His Spirit to the Father in full control? He bowed His head and He gave up the Spirit. And He did the same thing. Dear brethren, Christianity is real. Christ is real. He came on earth. He's in glory now. And what He is trying to do in you and in me, the Spirit of God is doing, is forming Him. May be receptive for the work of the Spirit of God to form us, to adjust us, to help us, to give us more and more of Christ. And more we have in Christ, the more and more people will see Christ revealed in us. Just like the opening of, I think you mentioned it, Steve, they have noticed that they have been with Jesus. The face of Stephen was like the face of an angel. The face of Moses was shining bright. You know how did they obtain it? From His own presence. May it be by the grace of God that when we are gone into the world, but tomorrow, let's remember Him and make much of Him and have our hearts engaged in Him and overwhelming with a good matter. But when we go Monday, if the Lord would leave us here, maybe that they would notice that we have been with Jesus. May it be so. For His name's sake. Amen.